Oh, that man will wait long enough in the presence of the Lord. The other come by the shed, that the other come by the other, but call it the shed, that the come by the other, but shed, that the come by the other, but shed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be thy name. Praise see the Lord. Praise see the Lord. Praise him. You can take your seat. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the glory of the Lord our God forever and ever. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Father, we thank you for this brief exhortation. Speak to us yourself, Lord. Teach us how to get into that rest that you call us unto. In Jesus' name we pray. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Put it on the screen, please. This exhortation I'm going to give today is something the Lord just made me to record. I already have some of this on my website, on the YouTube, really. It's a series, chapter, you know, rest, the rest of God is the topic, the rest of God. Part 1, 2, 3, and 4. But today is going to be just preaching. That was teaching. I'm just going to summarize it in a preaching. If you go to the YouTube and you Google on Gospel Distribution Ministry, or my name, you will see a bunch of rest of God's sermons that I'm really teaching. But this is what the Lord said, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So that rest is what I want to briefly explain, because it has to do with what he actually called us to, what we are trying to get into. What we, saints of God, are trying to get into when we talk about the coming to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Now, in the Bible, there are three types of rest that was really mentioned. You can go to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Or chapter 2, where God said, after 7 days, after 6 days, the Lord rested on the seventh day. That was a rest that was mentioned in the Bible. But you have to remember, that was prophetic of the 7,000th year of Christ, of the reign of Christ on earth, which is we call the millennial reign. That is the seventh-day rest. But after that, he also mentioned in the book of Psalms, lest they enter into my rest, when he was talking to the Hebrews. That was another form of rest. You can say that was referring to the Hebrews coming out of Egypt, getting to the promised land. If they have gone into the promised land, the people that died in the wilderness, they have entered a form of rest also. Because walking through the wilderness, no water today and this and that. And then when they enter the land, the Canaan land, they enter the rest. So when God says, lest they enter into my rest, can be referring to that. So that's another form of rest. But Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's another rest. Now, Christ in this one is not talking about the millennial reign when he will be coming to reign for 1,000 years. He's talking of what you can begin to enjoy now. Praise the Lord. So that is the one I'm going to talk about today. And what is that rest? It's the healthy state of our being. The healthy state of our being. So that is really, in a summary, what I'm going to talk about today. I will talk on briefly what is this rest. Then I will talk about why some people did not enter into the rest. We're actually going to take an example of the people that were going through the wilderness into the Canaan land. Why they did not enter in. It's the same principle. Whatever made them not to enter into that promised land, which is physical land they were going into, it was the same principle. If anybody is going to miss out on God not entering into the rest of Christ, which we are to enter in now as we live our life, same principle can make you not to enter in. If you are going to miss out on not going into hell, into the glory land, the heaven, the new Jerusalem that we have promise for us, which is millennial race, Christ will resurrect, that same principle is what can make somebody miss it. So when we look at the scriptures, we will see that faith is important. Everything that the Bible said we should do and we should not do, they are all the same thing that apply to them in the wilderness, apply to us today. And I'm going to just go through some few Bible verses and point them out to you. What is this rest that Christ has called you and me unto? When he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is this laboring that he's talking about? What is the laboring that you are going through? He said, if you are laboring and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Let me give you a brief summary, an example. In your daily life, you can look at yourself and look at your life and say, Lord, why am I going through all these struggles? Maybe yours is financial situations. Maybe yours is health situation. Maybe yours is just, things are just not working out. You look at your life, you look at your family, things are not working the way you expect it to work. You may think it's physical things. This man disappointed me. My parents disappointed me. This disappointed me. My job disappointed me. I couldn't get things right in life, and things are not going the way I expect it to be. Maybe they are spiritual. Most of the time, they are spiritual. Many human beings sometimes don't know that these things are spiritually connected. But Christ is saying, come unto me. All ye that are laboring and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Because he is the Lord of the spirits, and he comes to be the Lord of the physical. He is the Lord of the living, he is the Lord of the dead. So then he has control of all the things you are struggling with, spiritual things. All the things you are struggling with that you don't know they are spiritual things, and they look like physical things. Let me give you a quick example, just reminding me to not forget that. About two and a half years ago, I was walking in my office there, and one co-worker was transferred from another section to my section, and he's a black American. But because of somehow, I noticed this young man, a little younger than me, not old, was not talking to anybody. Now, you can feel for somebody like that, some of the African Americans that were raised here may have some hangover from the slave trade or from the civil war, civil liberty, the rebellion that was going on in the 60s, so that they almost like hate everybody. But I just noticed he was not talking to anybody, with sunshade upon his eyes, and he was not a new person, just transferred. And I'm black, he's black, and yet he's not even saying, good morning, no response. And I started praying because I am evangelistic, so I try to witness to people. So I prayed in my spirit, and somehow they made me and him and somebody else to go work in another section. And while I was alone with him in that lab, kind of cornered him and talked to him just to find out what could be his situation. I didn't actually try to ask him what's wrong with you. No, I just started talking the gospel. To make the story short, I pointed this thing out. Christ is saying, come unto me, whatever you are going through. Then he opened up. Well, this man has been in the military, so he has been injured. And most of the people that were working in that company were either ex-military guys, veterans, and so on. So he has been injured, but that may not be his problem. His wife is having problem issues, ex-wife. But he's still responsible for the woman. I'm talking of health issues. His son has health issues, going through surgery. These are 16-year-old. Everything around him was caving in. So no wonder he hated almost the whole world. So when I introduced him to Christ, talked to him, me and him alone in the lab, he was able to tell me some of those things, and I said, Jesus is the only answer. You may not think it's spiritual, but it's many things like that are spiritually connected. It's just some medical problem here, some medical problem there, some financial problem there, but still it could be spiritual. So I invited him to Christ, prayed for him, gave his life to Christ in that lab. From that day forward, things started changing. Christ is saying, come unto me. Jesus is your answer. So that is just an example to make you to see that when the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, I will give you rest. So the rest he's talking about is the state of your being. That things will begin to work out for you when you come to Jesus. Cast all your cares upon him. Let him take control of your life. You have been doing it yourself. But he wants, that is what we call the victorious Christian living. Right? That's another terminology that the charismatic world use. Victorious Christian living. It's another way to say this is the rest that God is calling us onto. And I'm beginning to describe what is this victorious Christian living. Let me give you another way the Lord put it. John chapter 8 verse 12. The Gospel of John chapter 8 verse 12. As a matter of fact, in the book of Genesis, you will see that when God created man in the first place, before Adam, the charge he gave to man is to subdue the earth. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, we are to subdue the earth. Not just this stone called planet earth they are standing upon. Everything that has to do with physical world, we are to subdue it, to put it under our control. That is part of the victorious Christian living. I just give an example of somebody that has a medical issue. But what is causing, let me ask you a question. Here is the doctor. What are the things that causes diseases and sicknesses, my brother? Shout it out, brother. What causes sickness and diseases? Bacteria, germs, viruses. Am I right, brother? Are those things living things? Are they living things? Bacteria, they are living. Germs, they are living things. Viruses, they are things that are living. But they are not expected to live inside us, no sir. So that's when they try to live inside us, that's when they become problem. But who created living things? Amen. Praise the Lord. So then when God said, come unto me, I will give you rest. He has control over all things. Amen. So when we say this man has medical issues, if you cast your body upon the Lord can control those living things that are causing your medical problems. Amen. So the answer then is what? Christ is the answer for all our problems. I'm just trying to summarize that. So when God says subdue the earth, it includes those living things that are on this planet, viruses, germs, bacteria. He says subdue them. That is the charge he gave to mankind that we have to get ourselves into, be able to do it. Amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, when God gave the charge to man, he's saying we should subdue all things upon this earth. Read it again yourself. And everything that moveth is what he said upon the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Let me read it to you. So, God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He said, you should have dominion over them. I said, well, yeah, that's where we have the medical doctors to help us kill those things. But he's talking more than just the medical doctors. He's talking more than just the medical doctors. He wants us to rule over those things from the spirit world so that we can control them. That's why Christ said, in my name they shall cast out devils. My name is here, cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Bringing back to us the authority that he wants us to begin to exercise. Amen. So when I said all those things that are troubling mankind, they are expected to be ruled by us, to be controlled by man. And that is what God is calling us onto. He said, come unto me, I will give you rest so that we can begin to exercise our authority upon all those things that God has put upon this planet that he said we should subdue. Now, Psalm 8. I'm still talking about this victorious Christian living, trying to point it out to you and to me that this is what God says we should be like. And when we know what we should be, we should begin to exercise our rights so that we can be exactly what God wants us to be. In the letters of David, Psalm 8, he told us that God has put all things under the feet of man. Verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All things. God has put all things under our feet. Now, I'm saying this so that you can know that you know your rights. Begin to stand your ground and exercise your rights as a son, a servant of God, a child of the Most High God. God has put all things under our feet. And he said, all sheep and oxen and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. Now, when he said the fowl of the air, not just the physical birds only, even the fowls represent spirits. You remember? He said the fowls of the air came and took the seed out of their hearts. He's talking of demons, spirits. So you have to know that when God gave us this authority and this right, he's saying we are to control all things that are upon this planet Earth. And if we are to control them, he's saying that is how we can live that victorious Christian life. You must be able to control them. Know your right as a servant of God, and then you'll be, if you exercise it, you'll be living this victorious Christian life. In John chapter 8, verse 12, that I said before, there the Lord gave us how we are going to begin to control this. Some of the things that the Lord will make you to be able to use to know your right as a servant of God and to live this victorious Christian life. When I say victorious Christian life, you have rule over your physical body. You have rule over your spiritual body. You have control over your material things. When you are living that victorious life, then you are in that rest. The rest that we are talking about, the rest that God calls us unto. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Lord said, he is the light of the world. They say, we shall not walk in darkness because we shall have the light of this life. How does that transform to victorious Christian living? Now, when you can see the future, when you know what is ahead of you, then it's another form of rest, because you are now going to be trusting God that when God is in control, he has already shown me what is coming. So I can rest in the Lord. I can wait patiently for him. By telling us that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come, and when we begin to tap into him, that we know things that is ahead of us, it gave us some peace of mind. I'm describing the rest of God. That he said, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. What Jesus Christ said, one of the things that will give you the rest is knowing your future, knowing things that is ahead of you. Amen? Amen. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 17, you may write some of those Bible verses down and just meditate on them later as what is this rest that Christ calls us to come and enjoy. What is this rest? And I mean, I will just be pointing to small things that will tell you that this is a rest indeed. If you know your future, it will give you some rest. Not divination, but he said the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. So that is how you know. Then you have a peace of mind. And also he said, he give us peace. He said, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. Those are also what is going to give you this rest of God. In the book of James chapter 5 verse 17, he said, Elias was a man subject to like passions like us. So he's just like you and me, but he prayed and it didn't rain. Then he prayed again and God brought rain. So what is that telling us? That we have authority to control elements. Not just Elijah, not only Elijah, you and me have authority to control elements. To control the rain. Many have given testimonies like that. Yeah? To control the snow. Many have given testimonies like that here. When you have that kind of authority, not that when you already have the authority, when you exercise that authority of the Lord has given to us over the elements that may bother you for any time you like to stop the. I was giving this testimony before. Somebody said, why do you need to stop the snow? Maybe somebody else needs the snow. Yeah, God can control that. You want snow on this side? Yeah. He does not want snow on that side. God can control that. So, but what I'm saying is, when you take your rightful position and you control those things, that's a rest. So that things are not affecting you unnecessarily. I'm still describing this rest that God is talking about, that Christ said, come unto me, I will give you rest. I talk about the rest you can have by being in peace of mind. The rest you will have by being able to control your own health. That's why he gave us the authority as believers to lay our hands upon the sick and they shall recover. You lay your hand upon yourself. When there is sickness in your family, lay your hand upon your children. And they shall recover. You have to believe it, of course, and to exercise that ground. When you are doing that, exercising your right, it is already your right. You already have this authority. Only people are not believing it enough. Or they tried it once, it looked like it didn't work. Do it again. Try and try again. Check yourself. And you will see that God's word, he will honor his word when you have your faith in those words. But when you begin to exercise those and they are working for you, that's a rest. That's what I'm pointing. I'm just pointing to the rest that Christ is talking about. This victorious Christian living. It has to do with your finances also. With your finances. Many times, people are struggling financially. But if you come to Christ, say that he is the one that giveth you power to get wealth. God say he giveth us power to get wealth. So, if you are struggling financially, bring it to Jesus. Talk to him about it. And when he guides you and tells you to do something, do it. And you will be promoted, because promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Where does it come from? From the north. Check that Bible verse again yourself. Many people never really realize that the Bible was specific. Promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. They didn't mention the north. Why? Because it's a God dwelleth on the north. So, God is the one that's going to promote you. So when he tells you to do something to promote you, whether in your business or in your job, and you do it because you are obedient, then you are being blessed. This is the rest that he's talking about. The rest to have control over your finances. And then when he wants you, by his scriptures, by the word of God, not to go into debt, not to overdo things, not to be wasteful, not to be mismanaging your resources. Those are the things he's using. When you obey those precepts of the Lord, that is the rest. That is the rest. He said, come unto me, I will give you rest. Let's look at that Bible verse again. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And turn to verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Because we are talking about the rest that he calls you unto. He actually specifies how you are going to get that rest. Take my yoke upon you. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. And learn of me. Put it on. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall have rest unto your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. So this rest we are talking about, the victorious Christian life is what I like to call it, is that rest, the healthy state of our being. Healthy, not just physical health, material health, spiritual health. We need to follow his precepts. He said, take my yoke upon you. That's how you're going to get that rest. And learn of me. When I just mentioned, I said, when the Lord tells you not to mismanage your resources, when he tells you not to be wasteful, and when you obey that, you'll be finding that rest, your financial rest. Are you listening to me? Oh, we have gone home. Praise the Lord. Like the preacher will say, so are you still there? Or you go home? Praise the Lord. He said, when he said, and you shall find rest unto your soul when you take my yoke upon you and you learn of me. So it is the precepts of the Lord that he teaches us how to not mismanage, how to obey his precepts, how to not invest wrongly when we put it before him. There was a story of a guy that said he never lost a dime in investment. Why? Because when he sees any investment, somebody came to him and said, hey, this is a big deal. If you will invest in this, oh, it's big, big business. He said sometimes his head will tell him that that's a good deal. And he said, well, let me just pray about it. And he said he will go into his closet. He took the closet prayer literally. He said he will go into his closet for 2 days, 3 days sometimes, just asking the Lord, should I not invest in this business? And they said this man was a good businessman, multimillionaire. And he said sometime the Lord will finally come to him and he will get it from in his spirit that, no, don't go into it. Even though the head may be saying, that's a good deal. If his spirit said, no, don't go into it, and he will not. He said he has never lost a dime. And he said sometimes the head will say, no, don't put your money in this. And the spirit will say, go ahead. And he will go ahead. And he said he never lost a dime. God said, if you will obey him, he said, he will make you rich. God can make us rich if we will obey him. But he said, obey him in this, you also have to obey him in that. Take, for example, if he told you, invest here, you are investing, you are getting the money. But he said, don't waste your money, but you are wasting it here. You are getting the money here, you are throwing into the basket of holes. You are not going to be in that race that he promised. So it's all his precepts. So I'm describing the victorious Christian life that he has called us, that he's talking about when he says, I will give you rest when you take my yoke upon you. Praise the Lord. And like I said, you have control over elements. You have control over snow. I gave a testimony here where we traveled. I've done that before. And look, people said that was 30 something years ago. What has the Lord done since? I said, well, we did another one in 2016. We prayed, Lord, I don't want snow. And the Lord honored the faith of the saints. And when you exercise your right, you have to exercise your right. It's yours, not just this pastor said it. This pastor has power. No, you have power. Amen? You have power with Jesus. We are only pointing it out to you that use it. Use that power. Don't be controlled by elements. You control the elements in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you are in that rest because then you are confident in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I can go on and on. The healing of our body, deliverances from all evil, and financial blessings, spiritual blessings, material blessings. Those are the things God promised that I will give you rest when you take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn. That is very important in learn of me. That is, you take the scriptures and search, what should I do in this situation, Lord? And then he will guide you. And then you follow his guidance. Then you are learning from him. Then you will be having that rest. Now I want to talk about some of the people that enter the rest. Let's take Numbers chapter 13 quickly, because I'm going to summarize it in about 15 minutes now. We talk about the story of the Hebrews when they left Egypt and they were going to the promised land. They were going to their rest. It was a rest. Going through the wilderness, no water, no house. They were sleeping in tents. And God was saying, that's the rest. The promised land, the beautiful land flowing with milk and honey. But only two of them entered that promised land. The rest died in the wilderness because God said they did not believe him. And they died in that wilderness. Let's see the two people that entered the promised land. What did they do that made them enter in? And that principle applies to what we just talked about this rest we are also talking about. The rest we are entering into is to have that everything, all your needs met, financially, spiritually, materially, and continually be met. To be on top of all things, to be controlling elements, like God said. Let's see what Caleb and Joshua did the principle they use that we can also apply in our lives. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. We know the story. Put it on the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 30. We know the story. Moses sent these spies, 10 spies, to go and search the land. And they came back. They gave reports. 10 of them gave evil reports, the Bible said. 2 of them gave 2 good reports. Now, what does that really mean to us when you say they give good reports and these people give evil reports? We can analyze it and see what these people said. Look at number verse 30. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." And the rest of the 10 that brought evil reports said, "No, we are not able to overcome it. They are stronger than us." Well, what can we deduce from that? What can we draw out from that? The 10 spies that said they were not able, they were looking at their own strength. Well, they are stronger than us. They were looking at their own strength. But Joshua and Caleb, go back to Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 to 9. And let's see, they were not looking at their own strength. They were looking at the Lord that has promised. The Lord said he has given this thing to us. And so you have to look at the Lord and say, this is what the Lord says, and I'm going to just trust God. I'm going to just hold on to what he promised. The difference is, are you looking at God's promise and God's strength, or are you looking at your own strength and your own promise? Even in everything we just talk about, what God said, we are to enter into that rest. I said you are to subdue elements, yeah? It is not because this pastor has fasted 100 times, 100 years, that we make him subdue the elements. No. It is because God said this is our right. Believe that word of God. Amen? So the same thing where you say, where you talk about laying your hand upon the sick, they shall recover. Is it because you are a pastor, you can do it? Or because the word of God says so? These signs shall follow them. That's you. That's you. That believe. Then you have to believe that word and then begin to exercise it. Am I a believer? Exercise it. And it will be so. So what we are saying is, believing the word of God, it is not my strength, it is not my righteousness, it is God's strength and it is God's righteousness. The Numbers chapter 14, Joshua and Caleb were able to tell people that God, if God delights in us, he will give us the land. And he will bring us in there. So they were looking at the strength of the Almighty God. They were not looking at the things they can see with their eyes. The giants. They are not looking at the giants. They are looking at God who promised the land. Who promised the land for them. So the first thing, when we say how to enter into that rest, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Keep your eyes on his promises. And then, like he said, come and learn of me. Learn of Jesus. Very important. That is how we are going to enter the rest of God. Faith plays a part in that. In Hebrews chapter 11, I'm just going to give you some Bible verses now. You can write it down. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 talks about faith we please God. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 is another thing I want you to put on the screen. We are saying, how do we enter into this rest that I've briefly described as the state of our being, overcoming all things, rest in your physical, rest in your spiritual, rest in your financial. You are in control of all these things. The blessing of God that God promised you, it will be yours when you have that rest. And Christ said, you have to just learn of me and you will be in that rest. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 said, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So if there's anything that can derail you from entering into that rest, from possessing that spiritual rest I'm talking about now, the healthy state of your being, where you are in control of things, where you say, he said, you shall say a thing, it shall come to pass. You shall decide a thing, it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me, remember Jesus Christ said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Oh, well, Lord, I want the rain to stop. We need to do an occasion here. We need an event here. Lord, I don't want this rain to fall for the next 3 days. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. He didn't say if a pastor or a preacher or you must be a prophet to say that. No. You. Everybody. So for him to do what you say, because Christ said, it's my Father that doeth all these things. The Lord is going to do it. That is part of your victorious Christian living we are talking about. Remember the title? The rest. Victorious Christian living. It's when you have control over elements. When you are exercising your control over, I'm not saying when you have, that's the wrong word. When you exercise your authority over elements. When you exercise your authority over your situations. Praying for yourself. Deliverance. And you pray for yourself, for your financial needs. You pray for yourself and your body is healed. That is the victorious Christian living that he's talking about. We have to enter to that rest. We have to begin to exercise it. But he's giving you the conditions that may make him not to do what he says, what you say. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So then check yourself, Lord, how have I not been abiding in you? How have I not been abiding in you? And bring this one to me again real quick. Mark chapter 11. The big one. That's the biggie. And that's the one you have to walk on, every one of us. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Saying that if God is not going to do it because you say that he should do something, you say, Lord, I don't want the rain to fall. Oh, Lord, I want the snow to stop. Oh, Father, I need rain here. I need rain here. Sometimes you need rain also. Sometimes you need rain. I gave a testimony many years ago. We wanted to sell our house on Shea Boulevard. And we have not been watering the grass. Been dry on getting to May. And everything was dry. You can crumple them. And we started saying, we don't want to put for sale on it. So let's start watering it. We're watering it every day. And look like we're just wasting water. I said, Lord. And I was to pray one night in the backyard. I said, Lord, we're just wasting water here. I need rain, Lord. I need rain. At least 3 days of rain for this grass to turn green so that we can put for sale and it will look good. And the Lord said, okay, decree a thing. So I decree a thing, Lord. From tonight, I mean, tomorrow morning, I want rain. 3 inches of rain. I don't know why I said 3 inches. But of course, I just knew that grasses don't have long roots. So if I have 3 inches deep, that should cover all the grasses. I said, 3 inches of rain, at least 3 inches of rain. 3 times in a row, every day for 3 days. And I decree that night, I tell you, I've given this testimony many, many times. That same morning, we woke up that morning, boom, 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 thundering and rain. 3 days in a row, it was flood. And it, well, it's enough, Lord, it's enough. It's flooding my house. But he said, if you say it, he said, we make it happen, but you have to be what? Search yourself. Are you abiding in him for him to do this for you? And this is one of the things he said in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Let me read verse 24 first. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. It's not saying if you are a pastor, or if you say if you are a minister, or if you are an evangelist, or if you are a prophet. No. Ye, everybody, every believer. What things soever you desire when you pray. It's prayer, not so. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when we always, many times we stop at the verse 24. They don't stop at verse 24 because there's a and conjunction to the next verse, to the next sentence. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. God has put some asterisk on that verse 25. Asterisk. The reason why many prayers were not answered by the Father. Verse 25 then. You say, well, I don't have anybody. I don't have anything. Anybody I have problem with. He said, forgive. Do you have problem with some ex friends ex-spouses, ex-colleagues, co-workers, even your relatives that did something 30 years ago, and you just don't smile when you see them or when they come around. You have not forgiven. Because God searches the hearts. And he's saying, if you are hurt, even small thing, that's hurt. Big or small, anything, that's what hurt means. Against any, forgive, so that your Father also can forgive you. Those are the things that hinder prayers. Your prayers. The other person could have forgotten about you. You may say, well, they may not even be around. But you are hindering your own prayer because God is searching your heart. Your heart. You are the child of God that God is dealing with. And God is the one that's going to do what you say. So he wants you to be complete. So you need to do that. So you just say, I should remind all of us of that. Forgive. Then he will be able to answer you. Healthy state of our being. Victorious Christian living is what we are talking about. And these are the things that we make God to do it for us when we are walking in love, brotherly love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells you more about that. And that is how we can enter in now. Let me just quickly summarize in the next 3 minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Some other things why people do not enter into the rest that Apostle Paul warned us about. I will end up with that and then pray and ask people to stand up and pray in that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is what Apostle Paul said. Moreover, brethren, verse 1. He said, I will not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all eat the same spiritual meat. That is, they were all fed with the same spiritual meat. Like we are all being fed with the same spiritual meat right now. We are all hearing the word of God. They all drink the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, in the last few minutes, I spoke about Joshua and Caleb, how they entered in. They believed God. They spoke for God. They were looking at God, not looking at their circumstances. Remember that. That's what the other 10 were looking at. They were looking at the giants. They forgot that to get out of Egypt was not their strength at all. They don't have the might against Egypt. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt in those days, was superpower. So the slaves left Egypt, not by their own strength. They didn't shoot any single arrow. But they forgot that. Now they got to this place, they saw the giants. And they were thinking, we have no strength against these giants. But Joshua and Caleb were saying, our God will take us in. In fact, if you go and read that chapter that we just read, number chapter 13 or something, it became rowdy. They wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. That was how rowdy it was. But God allowed them to go through that to see who is on his side. Know that it is God that is going to do this thing for you, but he's giving you the own condition. Forgive, abide in me, and then let him, he will do it. Just believe his word. But abide in him. Abide in him. And let his word abide in you. And if your heart is condemning you that I'm not doing what the Lord says, check on that. Because that's just you and him alone. You may know what is dealing with you. If God is dealing with you in something, I say, well, the Lord, this is where I'm not abiding. Help me to be able to abide in that. Do that part. Whatever is dealing with you in your heart, do that. Because that is the main thing that perhaps once you clear that, then you'll be able to say what you want. Say anything, say, I will do it. Ask me anything, say, I will do it. But abide in me. Let my word abide in you. And as I'm saying it, something may come to your heart that, yeah, Lord, if I can get rid of that offense, I think I will be abiding good. Lord, if I can get rid of that behavior, I think I will be abiding good. If I can just be submissive to my husband, maybe I will be abiding good. If I can just do this. That is how God is dealing with individuals. Then you do that part, then you will see your authority will just be effective. When you pray, when you ask anything in his name, or if you say, well, if I can just forgive that fellow, if I can just clear it out of my mind, I will be clear. I will have nothing hindering me. That is what God is pointing out first of all for us all now. Now, let me go to this 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and complete it. Apostle Paul was writing, said, God was not well pleased with many of them. Why? This is what he said they were doing in the wilderness. He said, these things, verse 5, were written for our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things. Check yourself, maybe whatever you are, God is dealing with you may just be lost. He's dealing with you with some things that I just mentioned. Hey, if I can just get rid of this one, if I can just stop that misbehavior, if I can just do that, I'll be clear to be able to ask anything in the name of the Lord, and God will do it. Because that's my problem. If I can just forgive that fellow, search your heart, because the Holy Ghost deals with you as you are listening to the word. Amen? Now, see, these things were written for our examples. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters. He said some were idolaters, as were some of them. Idolatry. And he went further in verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Fornication was in their midst. You have to search yourself and say, all of those things that he was listing happened to them then, they didn't enter in. It's still happening in the generation that we're in. If you have any of those offenses, search yourself. How can I be able to say to the rain, stop? Or the rain, fall? And God is going to do it. God said, if you are any of this, there's no way you can answer, because he is the one that's going to do it. Or if you have unforgiveness, there's no way he can answer you. He's the one that's going to do what you say, to have that victorious Christian living that he said, the rest that he promised you. Check yourself for these things. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. What does it mean to tempt Christ? Well, think about it. Meditate on that. Am I tempting the Lord if I think this way? If I desire this thing? If I demand something like this? I will not be able to give some examples right now. Let's just go on. We're rolling out of time. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, what is murmuring? Murmuring is a complaining discontentment. It's really what causes murmuring. Discontentment. Not satisfied with what you have will cause some people to be murmuring in their heart. He said, Moses said, you are not murmuring against me, you are murmuring against God who is leading us. According to the stories of the Hebrews. Now, you have to search yourself. Are you content? Are you content with what God has given to you? Because when you are content, then you can freely ask for more. God can give you more, but he doesn't want to grumble and murmur because you are not getting what you think you should get. Let us not murmur. Praise the Lord. He's saying, don't murmur against what you have. Be content with your spouse. Be content with your marriage. Many people, they think they are okay, but when they see the other's marriage, now they are not satisfied with their own. When they go to a wedding, now they are coming back fighting at home that my marriage was not like that. It could be discontentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. He said we are not to be comparing one thing with ourselves. It's the way I'm trying to compare so that I can make mine better. Yeah, but there is a way to do that, and another way to be discontentment. That's not healthy. There's a healthy way to compare and try to make yourself better. There's an unhealthy way that you are comparing and you are fighting because you are not well pleased. No matter if you have that discontentment, $1 million will not be satisfactory to you if you have discontentment. So remember, murmuring is what he said. He said they murmured in the wilderness and God destroyed many of them. So that is one of the things we have to be careful about. He said, evil report. Let me give about the final thing about that evil report also. Why they did not enter in. We know that they murmured, they tempted, they were fornicators, they were idolaters, they lusted, but they also brought evil report. That was it. That was the final blow. That means these people that came back, they were not looking at God. That's the faith part of it. They were not looking at God. They were looking at their circumstances. I'm forgetting that it is God that has been doing this in all along. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Praise the Lord. When we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, then there will be no evil report, because what you think is you that can't do this thing, if you acknowledge that even the little thing you are able to do, it is God that is doing it for you in the background, then when you acknowledge him in all your ways, you will be free from that evil report. Let's stand up and pray. We're going to pray for ourselves as I wrap it up. Let's stand up. Talk too much. Stand up. Let's pray. I want to get into that rest. The rest Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is what we are talking about. And I said the rest has to do with your spiritual life, physical life, material life. As Christ has said, learn of me. Learn all those precepts that will make you to be able to live that victorious Christian living. And when you learn of him, he said you will find rest unto your soul. Begin to talk to the Lord yourself now. Talk to the Lord. You know whether you are enjoying all those benefits. And I mentioned that you also it has to do with taking authority over things that could affect your life. Authority over the elements. Authority over the rain, the wind, the hurricane, tornado. You as a son of God, a child of God, don't say, well, we have to come as a church to stop this hurricane. You can stop it yourself. You can pray and God will do it for you. He said Elijah was a man, not a church, a man with like passion like you and me. And he prayed there should be no rain and God stopped the rain for him. And he prayed again that it should rain and God made the rain come. So he's challenging you and me to say you can do likewise, just follow his precepts, learn of me. And when you are on top of things like that, then you have that rest. That's what I'm saying. The rest of God. Pray to him now. Ask the Lord Jesus, help me. I know I'm not enjoying this rest in this area of my life or in that area of my life. Talk to him about it. And he's able to touch your life and make you and then tell you how to obey his precepts. He will put it in your heart. Ask him to help you to obey those precepts. Because those precepts are very crucial. When he said, learn of me, those are the things you have to begin to use. The precepts of the Lord. Abide in me and my word abide in you. One of the words is forgiving one another. Forgiving, walking in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When you abide in those things, then you have the liberty to command and ask anything. And he said, he will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Father, we praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we worship you. And we know, Lord Jesus, you are the word. And your word has been given. Help us to walk in that word. And as we walk in your word, Lord, help us, Lord, to be able to believe and exercise our authority over elements, our authority over spirits, our authority that you give to us to lay our hand upon the sick and they shall recover. The authority you give to us that we shall cast out devils, it is in your name. And when we speak your name, let them obey. For your word says so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if there is any hindrances in our path, Lord, that is hindering us from entering into that rest, Father God, we pray that our Lord Jesus God, that you reveal it to us individually so that we can lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us and so that we can run the race that is presented before us. Thank you, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah.